Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen. Amen. Go to the book of Jude. Let's all stand. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Yes.
In the book of Jude will be our text. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for helping us. Now touch us and teach us and torch us for thy glory. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. You can actually be seated. I work my way through the text and forget you're standing up sometimes. Amen. I want to come tonight and pick up on our second thought. I guess I preached the first thought this morning. I don't know. It was good enough though, wasn't it? It's what we needed. John had a rest home ministry and then he had a children's church. And that must be what we needed. And then she sang on that Christian home again. And God stirred in my heart again. I don't know. I may end up going that way again. We can't ever tell. But I know what the Lord would like to do for us this week. And I pray that God would send a revival to this church. Amen. Send a great revival to this church. Well, come with me to Jude and verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I like that, don't you? In these last ticking seconds of the church age, I like this promise. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. I'm going to go ahead and give you all three thoughts right now and preach the second one as the Lord wills. I want to say, number one, I'm glad that God's able to keep me from falling even when I'm down. Now, we tried to preach that this morning and preach the Lord's will. But there's old John laying down, I feel, seeing cast out on that Isle of Patmos. Look in Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to stop and say that verse 8, one of my preacher boys, young man ordained and helped him through Bible college and ordained him pastor now. They bought me this Bible the other day and printed my name on it and gave it to me. And it's the first red letter edition I've ever had. So I'm seeing the words of the Lord Jesus popping out at me. I preached 30 years out of a Cambridge wide margin. And then something about turning 45. Your elbows need to be longer. And Brother Lawson, you didn't tell me that was coming. Stuff like that. So they got me this larger print because my elbows shrunk when I turned 45 or something. And I'm noticing, look in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And then look in verse 11, see my red letter edition of heaven. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I'm going to need you to pop a happy bubble right there. That couched right between his persecution on Patmos was the one who begins it and the one who ends it. Alright, y'all got to help me a little better. I've just seen it just now. It's the first time I've ever seen it while I stand here in front of you. Verse 9, he's in that isle that is called Patmos, and the verse in front of it, I am Alpha and Omega, And the next thing the Lord says in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega. Ain't you glad He's the one that starts this and He's the one that finishes it? Even when we're down. Thank God before we got down, He was Alpha and Omega. And after you laid down, He's Alpha and Omega. Thank God, known from God, known by God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Thank God for it. Well, with that said, let's look at something in Jude. Now, this is some mighty tough material. Beginning in verse 3, everybody look at it. Verse 3, Jude, beloved. He's, and honey, immediately we go into a battle. In verse 3, he says that ye should earnestly contend. Can I get a witness right there? Yeah. All right, we immediately go into a battle. Look in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Wow, now we got some home invasions there and house invasions. And then in verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate. And in verse 7, there's Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 8, you got pornographers and dope peddlers, filthy dreamers that defile the flesh. You see that dreaming? That's that dope addict in his trance. And these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Now look in verse 9. There's Michael the archangel contending with the devil, disputing about the body of Moses. It's interesting, he's not disputing about the body of Christ. He's disputing about the body of Moses. Michael is Israel's angel, the Jews, God's angel, sent down to take care of the Jews. And he's disputing about the body of Moses. Well, I'm about to pop a happy bubble, honey. If you could get your spiritual eyes, if God could somehow let us see this spiritual world, there's a great warfare raging over Israel tonight. Thank God. Now, I can keep it going. I keep it going. There's a whole bunch of stuff. My point is, hey, some tough stuff in the book of Jude. Matter of fact, all of it. And he's telling us, don't eat cashews before you go to preach. He's telling us what we'd have to deal with right before the second coming. I may hit them in a minute. What all we got to deal with right before the second coming. I may hit that in a minute. What we've got to deal with right before the second coming. But I seen something I'd never seen that y'all are doing that to me today. Y'all are doing that to me. I'm having to write all this stuff down. Right there in Revelation 1:9. Before his Patmos persecution. There's the Lord Jesus standing there saying, I am Alpha and Omega. And then right after it, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm going to need a little help right here. Isn't it good of God to put his hand before the thing and after the thing and just hold it in his hands? He had John right there on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I am before this and I am after this. I am the first and I am the last. I was here when it got started. I'll be here when it's wrapped up. I began this and I'll end this. Now, why did I have you look at Jude? Because God gave us two precious. He put some parentheses. My English teachers laughed at me. He put some brackets. He put some bookends. In the book of Jude, God put one hand in front of it and one hand after. Do y'all want to look at it? Did y'all see what all we're wrestling with in these hours? Did you see what we're having to wrestle with? Well, look how he begins Jude. Jude, verse 1. The Trinity shows up in one verse. Ain't you glad something as big as the eternal God can get in something as small as one verse? Ain't you glad somebody as big as God can get in something as small as one vessel? Y'all ain't helping me. Honey, he's in the starry universes, the vast, vast universe, the billions of galaxies rolling. They tell me, preacher, over 200 billion galaxies that we've seen with our telescope. What's the big telescope out there? I knew it right before I told y'all about it. Yeah, thank you. I knew that already. And that big telescope out there, over 200 billion galaxies. Our own galaxy, the Milky Way, which is why we have a problem with obesity. We live in the Milky Way. Woo! Thank God for it. I'm glad I don't live in a tofu broccoli galaxy. That'd be a bad galaxy to live in. I'm glad I'm in a candy bar, one of the lesser candy bars. You know, they didn't put nothing in it but goo. But anyway, we'll take it. And they say right here in our own galaxy that it would take us 100 million years traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. It'd take you, and this is not evolutionary atheist, this has actually been measured. It'd take you 100 million years going 186,000 miles a second to get out of our one galaxy. And I ain't going to do that because I'm afraid the next galaxy might not be a candy bar. But that's how. And the stars are almost innumerable in our one galaxy. Well, our little Hubble, did y'all know that was named the Hubble telescope out there, has counted over 200 billion, with a B, billion, under the current administration. You ought to be getting used to those words, billions and trillions. 200 billion galaxies. How many stars are in them galaxies? And that's just the ones, that's just the stars they've seen with a looking glass. What else is out there that we hadn't seen? Well, I'm glad for you to know that there are probably that many cells in your body. How many cells are in your body? And the same God who put them big galaxies out there is the same God that put the electron, proton, and neutron in your little cell right there and got them in an orbit. Got them in a, y'all ain't helping me. Maybe a scientist here says, how many trillions of cells make up one human body? And God's so big, He made a universe that big, and God's so wonderful, He got in something so small. Y'all ain't helping me. And God's in the big things and He's in the little things. Well, that's came up again tonight. Boy, y'all can sure mess up my sermons. What about that? Thank God Peter and Paul went out there and did some big things for God. Amen. Simon Peter preached to all. He preached to 17 nations. The Bible said he preached to every nation under heaven in Acts chapter 2. Every nation under heaven was represented according to Acts 2. And there the beloved John was over yonder at taking one little elderly lady off to take care of her. And God was as much about to run, I'm about to run, what I'm about to do is run. And God was interested, He was as interested as that one little old stoop-shouldered lady that had birthed Him and fed Him and clothed Him. He's as interested in a little thing as a little old woman as much as He is every nation under heaven. Glory to God. I don't know why that helps me, but that helps me. I guess it's because I'm little and you're little. It's good to know that we're important to Him. We're not insignificant. This church, this revival, your home, your child, it's not insignificant to God. And the same God, is it Hebrews 1 or is it Colossians 1? Read both of them, you'll find it. Upholding all things. That's Hebrews 1, isn't it, Pastor? Upholding all things by the word of His power. And by, there's Colossians 2. And by Him all things consist. That consist. They say it is that adesio. You go down and study the originals, the language there. Adesio. And that is mean consist. By Him all things consist. Adesion. By Him all things stick together. And the reason them neutrons ain't bumping into your protons and your electrons, and the reason them galaxies and them stars and whatever's out there in orbit is not bumping into each other, is because God put it all into motion one day, and He put it all in orbit, and not only is He holding it together, He's holding it apart. Thank God He holds it apart and He holds it together. I was preaching one night and talking about this proton, neutron, electron. And I don't take any follow-up questions, by the way, on these matters right here. And you ask your pastor. It won't be the first time today I saw somebody ask you, pastor. But I was a preaching, and I preach. Used to preach every year down in Cocoa, Florida, right next to Cape, is that Kennedy? Where they send the rocket spaces on. And space rocket, but you know what they do. And there's 3 space rocket scientists in that church. Well, that's not intimidating. No, not one little bit. Especially when you go to trying to give object lessons and they're looking at. And because, you know, they're smart as the space rocket scientist because they is one. And one of them told me after the service, I was talking about what would happen. And is the neutron in the middle making everything neutral? And the proton and electron, there's your positive and negative, I think. Now, she's laughing at me, just like them space rocket scientists do. And afterwards, he said to me, because I got to talking about what would happen if them things ever collided. And he said to me, he said, it'd be the same thing as an atomic bomb going off. Now, some of y'all scared about, you know, all this terrorism and Al-Qaeda. And there's probably several briefcase, suitcase nuclear bombs right here in our own country. But I got, that somebody down here knows how many there is. Right here in our own country, that some of these sleeper cells, not interesting what to call them, some of them, I'm about to run, some of them sleeper cells have no doubt got some nuclear bombs. And I wonder why that ain't went off. And I wonder why they can't, because God's holding them cells together. I'm about to run. Never had that thought before. He's holding them cells. Some of you got cancer cells down in you, and they ain't going nowhere until He wants them to. He's holding you together. He's holding you apart. I asked that man, I said, what would happen? He said, it'd be like and you're scared of these terror, and you got more atomic bombs than you walking around. Hey, don't bump into anybody real hard, okay? Amen. Oh, neighbor, you said, what are you trying to say? And the sun right above us. Now, y'all going to laugh again. But it's one great big explosion the whole time. It's one great big explosion the whole time. And God uses that explosion just to heed us and to enrich us and to grow our food and to give us the health and the life that we have. What about that? Amen. There's potential walking explosions right here in your body, right there in the universe, right here in these Al-Qaeda cells, the sun right above. Wonder what's keeping all that from blowing up? Well, I'm about to run. God's holding them apart. God's holding them together. By Him, all things consist. He's a holding your mind together. He's holding your marriage together. Yeah. Brother, He's a holding your ministry together. Amen. Brother, without Him, I had an old preacher friend of mine down in Chattanooga. Him and his son built half the Walmarts in the South. They got a patent on a certain concrete plaster. And God just blessed them. And he told me, we're standing there in Chattanooga, 6-story building made out of red bricks. And he said, you know, there's not any more pressure on that bottom brick than there is the most high top brick up there. He said that plaster's not just holding, he said that concrete's not just holding them together. It's holding them apart. Amen. Well, I had happy bubbles started popping right there. Because God ain't just holding us together. How do y'all think a church stays together? Bunch of y'all don't even like each other. For $20, I'll tell you who told me they don't like you. Okay. Be the best fundraiser I ever.
never had that thought before either, man. You didn't write these things down for me. Your daddy's smart. You write them. How does this thing hold together? God holds us close enough together to create the energy. And yet he holds us far enough apart so we don't run into each other and explode. And every once in a while y'all run into each other, but thank God it's like one of them little white firecrackers you drop. Just pop it and it's over with right there. That's what I did to my wife on the 4th of July. And she got mad every time and I enjoyed the fire out of it. Amen. What's holding this thing together? What's holding this thing apart? Well, I know one thing. He's on the front end of our situation and he's on the back end of this thing. Amen. Amen. I'll show you that in Jude here in just a minute, but I've done got to wandering again here. I want to talk to you about what's holding your marriage together. Amen. I'm up here just looking for the Lord's will. I've been asking a question all last year, Pastor. God put it in my heart and showed it to me. I think I might stop and ask it right now. For some reason, the Lord's bent this thing toward the home today. I tried to get away from it, but she got to singing a while ago on the Don't Feel Sorry For Me in My Christian Home. Got that now. We came down a little hard on the women folk this morning. They're being bowed down, submitted. But I want to ask you something. Where, I'm going to pick on the men for a little while. Even time today. I'm fair and balanced. That's not original with me. That's somewhere. I got news for you. I want to ask you a question before I go any further here. Where was Adam? Where was Adam? Where was Adam when the devil came to the garden? Amen. How come his wife was left uncovered? Amen. How come he wasn't standing there? How come he let that serpent have full access to his wife? And they some believe that he had full access to his wife. And some things took place there. Where was Adam when the serpent came to get in her head? Where was Adam? Number two, where was Adam when God came to the garden? God couldn't even find him. He hid himself. Now, honey, you in bad shape when the devil can't find you and God can't find you. You're really off the picture right there. Help me now. I want to ask you men, where was Adam? Number three, with his children. When that oldest son was killing that saved son, where was their daddy? I need to ask y'all that question before we go any further in this revival this week. Where are the men? I'd like to know where the men are in this country. I'd like to know where the men are in the average Baptist church. I'd like to know where the men are in the homes of our country. I'd like to know where the men are with all the devils ravaging this countryside of ours. Where are the men? Where was Adam when the serpent came to the garden? Talk, and the devil got a hold of her head. Where was he? 1 Corinthians 11, the head of every woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. The head of the man is Christ. And the head of the woman is man. The devil shouldn't have got in her head. Now you want to know why he had such a good time getting in her head? Because Adam's supposed to be the head. And then the devil got Adam by getting his heart. He done had Eve. He got his bride. He got his sweetheart. He got her over there. And Adam's heart. Can I say something? God puts a man and a woman together because you complement each other. One of you is the head and the other is the heart. You got to have a brain and you got to have a heart to live. And I show you how important the woman is to the home. The brain can die, but if the heart still lives, that body will live. I wish I had somebody. What about it, girls? But if that heart died, I don't care how good the brains are doing, the whole body's a dying. Oh, we need some holy women. Y'all ain't helping me. Don't we need, there it is, come up again tonight. Tried to preach Jude again, and we're on the home. Where was Adam when the devil came? I said this morning, some of you didn't receive it too well. If you get full of the Holy Ghost, you men will make the right stand, and you ladies will make the right bow. Amen. 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 Paul was not a male chauvinist pig. I'm not either. And Jesus certainly was not. He's the one who set the woman free. Amen. Paul preached the gospel and set the woman free. You take all your major world religions, honey, they take the women down.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
The Muslims put them in them veils and make them walk how many paces behind. The Roman Catholics won't let them get married. Take them over there being none. I mean, honey, Hollywood and this heathen world, they'll take them and abuse their body and strip them and defile them in front of the world. I know some independent fundamental Baptists pretty mean to their wives too. They'll treat her like a dog and make her walk 20 paces behind. You're not lesser. You're not inferior. You're a weaker vessel. Your vessel's weaker. But you're not lesser or inferior, ladies. I need some help right there. I'm going to say this for you girls. See if I can get you back on my side. God created creation, and He said it was good. Then He created man and saw him in the garden alone, and He said it is not good. She liked that part, Pastor. Then, girls, you're going to like this. Then He made woman, crowned all creation with the final creation, and then He said it is very good. So the trees and the hills, the mountains and the rivers, good. Man, not good. Say amen, girls. You don't get many opportunities. It's your turn. It ain't going to last long, so enjoy it. Come on. Come on. You reckon in heaven God's going to let women preach the first 500 years just to get some things off their soul? They've been, a few things they've been wanting to say. You're going to be getting in trouble. Somebody over here is going to get in trouble. And then he crowned creation. And by the way, what's he going to crown this thing with at the end of time? He's going to give a bride to his son. He's going to give a bride to his son. And then in eternity they'll say, very good. So girls, if you want to on the way home tonight, just look over at him and say, you're not good. Just hold your Bible up and wave Genesis at him. He won't have no comeback for you. And then if he won't say it, you tell him on the way home, I'm very good. And you are not good. She's already consoling him, feeling bad for him. Stay with the Bible, ma'am. Tell him he's not good. Don't be compromising the Bible. Look out the trees and the river tonight and say, that's good. And you're not. And I'm very... Tell it, girls. I mean, I've given you some Bible to help you here. Where was Adam? But see, Adam is the head and the woman is the heart. Am I getting this out of that stuff being held together without killing each other? God has to do this in a church. God has to do this in a marriage. God has to do this in the ministry. How do we minister around here together? How does God... And there'll always be the newcomers on the bandwagon. Woo! Charles Lawson's live on the website. I've still heard about that in Thailand. And the man said, I've been listening to a man named Charles Lawson. I was in Thailand. on the website. And I said, I got a website. He said, I've never seen it. And didn't want to talk about it. And so, hurt my feelings. And I said, well, you got the right website. He's a great preacher. Oh, they'll come by. I want to hear Charles Lawson. Saw him on television. Heard him on the website. But in getting the will of God, and God puts you in here. And after a while, when the newness wears off, who's going to stay in here? Because it's the will of God and the work of God. And some people come and go as long as you applaud them and give them the preeminence they're hunting. I need a little help right here. I had some real impressive sermons for this revival, Pastor, and ain't none of them showed up yet. What are y'all going to do? What you going to do, honey? As long as they have the preeminence. As long as you applaud them. As long as you let them talk for 25 minutes about themselves. Y'all ain't helping me. I guess I'm here to plow. Where was Adam? He is the head. Why was Lucifer able to get a hold of her head? Because her head was out of place. Why was Lucifer able to get a hold of his heart? Because he'd already got a hold of her head. It was out of love for her that he deliberately disobeyed and went over there to be with her. He ate that fruit so she wouldn't be over there alone. To go to her and be with her and get under there with her. See, that's his heart. And when the home's out of whack, somebody's going to get your husband's heart. You do know adultery is still wicked. I need some help right now. You sleeping around, you messing around. You messing with that woman on the job. Them old-timey preachers would have said she needed to be home anyway. But that's too old timey for this generation, Pastor. I know the Proverbs 31 woman, she went out and she was a great entrepreneur. And honey, I'm not going to hold you ladies down, but everything she did was for the betterment of her home. We got a generation here that wants to have careers and not kids. Y'all help me now. I'm sorry, I guess I'm going to have to plow.
Come on,
that old gal over there, she's a showing her body and leaning in that perfume on you. And dear wife, if you're not covering his heart, where did God put Eve? Took her that rib. Now that side. That which guarded the heart.
Amen.
And there was a time and a season, there was a spell there, his heart was vulnerable and open.
Amen.
Until God performed the first wedding. How would you like, hey girls that ain't married yet, how would you like for God to be your wedding coordinator?
Amen.
I bet he can make it pretty. Come on now. What did the garden look like at the wedding?
Amen.
Y'all ain't helping me. Them elephants were lined up. Them big gorillas were booah, booah, booah. Peacocks had their tail. That one parrot on the Fruit Loops cereal box, he's being so pretty. Caw-caw! Or whatever they do. I don't think they do a caw-caw. I need somebody to do a little Google that for me, boys. We need to see what that parrot does. Could you imagine how God had that garden laid out most beautiful?
Right.
And when he stepped out from behind that tree with that bride, and Adam standing there looking as dumb as every man has ever looked that ever stood there. There ain't no way he's standing there and look cool. It don't happen. The Joe Cool of all daddy Joe Cools couldn't pull it off when you get married. You look dumb. You look scared. The reason you look dumb and scared is because men are dumb and scared.
Amen.
when they get married. And you stand there and you look dumb and scared. And there's never been an ugly bride. And there's never been a cool looking groom. And Adam, don't you know, is standing there. And when he seen her, before anybody ever spoke in tongues, he did. And he said, Shazam. Who is that says that on? That's Andy Griffith's aunt right there. Who's that? Cooter. Cooter, man. Yeah, you got it. Stay out of my sermon. I'm teasing. Oh, my. And where did God bring Eve? He didn't put Eve down there and say, now lay on his feet. He didn't take Eve and say, jump up there on his head. Hit him a couple of times. We're close enough to the country. I guarantee that's happened. No, God brought her. And where he had took her from, he put her right back.
Amen.
And she's to cover his heart.
Yep.
And dear ladies, that's God's calling on your life, to cover his heart.
Amen.
And protect his heart from what the enemy's shooting at him. Gentlemen, it's your call to protect her head. Why did you think that Corinthians 11 said it's a shame for a man to be covered?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And a shame for a woman to be uncovered on the head. This would make more sense to where it said it is a shame for a man to have long hair. And then it turned around and said the woman's hair is given her for her glory and for her covering. And then he said the woman, 1 Corinthians 11, I think it's verse 6 or verse 10 or verse 12. Read the chapter, you'll find. He said, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, Brother Lawson, you help me with this after church and tell me if I got it right and how I got it and how I need to work on it. I'm going to interpret the verse this way. For this cause ought the woman to... Here's what it says. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I believe it means this. There ought to be a powerful man over her protecting her head from them devil, them sex angels.
That's exactly right.
Am I on target, Pastor? That's it. And you're going to find that in the commentary. Well, I read all of them. And they didn't eat, they so much gobbledygook in there. I had to take a bath when I got done. It was everywhere. There's so much mush. And none of them know what they're talking about. He's talking right here in the context. There ought to be some authority and power on that, over that woman to protect her from the angels. That we just read about in Jude, the angels kept not their first estate. Let me tell you something. The devil's still seducing women. And I'm a pastor, I hope I'm all right. They say that men, we got children in here, I'll have to tone it down. Men operate by sight, but a woman operates by hearing. You show a woman your muscles, it ain't going to turn her on. Especially mine, they're more under than over. But you lean over and whisper in her ear or something. It's what James talking about. The tongue. It sets on fire the course of nature. Help me now. A man will take a look, but a woman will hear something. Y'all ain't helping me.
Amen.
That woman ought to cover his heart. That man ought to cover her head. That's why she's supposed to have that. She's supposed to have that. It's symbolic of that hair covering. That hair covering is symbolic. Let me illustrate it. I need a young couple, just a real healthy, good young couple. Boy, look at these people. Look like teenagers. I'm teasing y'all. Not about the teenage part. Stay there.
I almost got in trouble. Come here, you youngins. I need a child. Y'all got one yet? Okay. Step out here. I want you to stand here, soldier, sir.
Jesus, Benefield! Wobble, wobble, wobble!
All right, you stand right here.
Swabble!
Concrete block. I need a little boy, a little girl. I don't want to embarrass them. Give me one that won't be embarrassed. You want to come here? All right, this little fella. Come here, little guy. This is your adopted son. Was y'all tired of him anyway? Give him over here to this. Step on out here, son. Step on out here, mama. Come here, boy. You just stand right here. You don't have to do it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I never embarrass anybody. You just stay right there. Now, let's say a wild man come through here, busted in them doors with a machine gun. That would have meant that all the security guys are already dead. Okay, so if your husband's out there, this object lesson is bad for you. Now, tell me, what kind of a sissy wimp would jump behind her and hunker down? Jump behind her and hunker down. You step out there. Hide from that bad man. Hide. Look scared. Not weird. Scared. Look scared. Hunker down back there. Now what kind of a man would leave her uncovered and cover himself? Hunker down and be scared. You ain't done it yet. That's a very animated type of fear. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're not getting none of my love offering, but you're doing good. That's what all that headship is about in Corinthians 11. That's what all that hair is about. The hair is symbolic, ladies, of the fact that you're covered. Now, we're not picking on anybody's hairstyles. I know a lot of the Pentecostal holiness women, Rapunzel. We're going to be Rapunzel. And then I know a lot of the older grandmothers, they have a shorter hairstyle, and that's fine. That ain't what the Lord's talking about. He's not measuring hair. He's just talking about it's symbolic of a covering. Now, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to cover for her. And he's covering. And then what would happen if a bad man come in here? That mama would grab that baby. And a real man. And I got a feeling there's enough illegal guns in here to put us all in the county jail. Probably three legal ones. And butts not. The man is to cover his heart. And then what's the mama's going to do? They're going to grab them babies and cover them babies. Now the Bible says the head of Christ is God. In the divine triune arrangement of things, God the Son, God the Father made that arrangement where we would understand this business of submission. The word surrender is not in your Bible. I'm going to have to quit singing, "I surrender all." It ain't in the Bible. The word submit. Amen. What's the difference in surrender and submission? Surrender's forced. Submission is voluntary. Now girls, don't be mad at God for God telling you to have submission to Him. Because the man is commanded by God to have the same or even more submission to his head, who is Christ. You be Jesus. Come here. You look more like Jesus than anybody in that lineup right there. Come here. Right there. I mean, them two ain't even angels. They're not even guardian angels turning around right here. You be Jesus. And we need a God the Father. He's scary looking enough, ain't he? That mustache just screams authority. Must feel like obeying him, looking at the mustache. Come here, God the Father. You're God the Father. You stand right there. Now what about this? If that husband submitted to the Lord, and that wife submitted to that husband, and if it is, she's got the babies.
Yeah.
You ain't got to make it. She's got the, if mama's right, the babies are right. Okay. Look how covered this thing is. Here comes the crazy man. I got like 5 or 6 real good potential. My friend right here, he's always had a crazy look in his eye. He plays that fiddle. And it, you know, if he ever opens his eyes, it's a little strange. I shouldn't be mean to him. After all he's done for me, I shouldn't be mean to him. But I enjoyed it. What if a crazy man came in here? Look what he'd have to do. He'd have to go through God the Father. If his family's right with God, look what he's got to go through. God the Father. God the Son. A man full of God. I need everybody to quit griping and whining about being furthest down the totem pole. The further down this totem pole you get, the more precious you are.
Yeah.
Everybody that's got a young'un, hold them up or pick them up or look at them or hug them. That's the most precious thing in this building.
Yes, sir. Right.
Who's under the most authority?
Right.
It's the children. Quit griping about being under there.
Yeah. Amen.
Good.
The old black preacher from Savannah, Georgia said, you'll never get over what you need to get over until you get under what you're supposed to be under.
Amen.
Now look what's happened, Pastor, in the days we live. All right, come back here to the Father. Come all the way back here. Come back to the Son. Come here, boy. You come on out here. Mama, you get on out there. Step out there, son. You're going to be number one. Now look what happens. You know what America's done? America's taken God's order of authority, which is protection. And that's the most precious thing in this building. The babies. And then the bride is the most precious. Watch this. Here's what America's done.
That's right, Brian.
The men have gotten out of the will of God.
That's right.
Yep.
They ain't to be found.
Amen, brother.
Leaves the woman out there exposed and vulnerable.
Yep.
And she ain't right with God. The women in America ain't right with God. And them babies are out there. And when the wild man comes, he's going to get them children. What do you think's happened to the children in America? Satan has come and got the children of America. And he's got the women. And he's got the men. And when this thing gets backward, there's no submission, no authority, and there's no obedience and no honor. And that child won't do what the mama said. And that mama won't listen to the head, the husband. And that husband ain't listening to Jesus. And Jesus has to turn around and tell the Father, I'm sorry, Father. They're not doing right. And Jesus and the Father are grieved. But oh, when this thing's right, I want you to get right with God. A lot of people have been praying for that a long time. You get right with God. And everything behind him starts getting right. Get on out there. He's got right with you. And the Father and the Son are one. The Father watches over the body of Christ. I said the Father watches over the body of Christ.
Amen.
And then that mama, that little youngin, she'll get right back in there. Oh my. Where was Adam?
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Lawson, I had no idea the Lord's going to have me preach on the home all day. But all right. Must be what we need.
Amen.
We ain't going to be able to have revival in here. These homes ain't right.
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, you must think we're a wicked church. You're just like the rest of us.
Amen.
You're swirling around in orbit and God's having to hold you together and hold you apart.
Amen.
You ever feel like you're going in circles your whole life? You are. But you're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. Oh my. Where was Adam? Where was he when God came to the garden? I'm almost done preaching. That amazes me that Adam didn't mind his wife talking to the serpent but would not let his wife talk to God. You get me a man not right with God, he'll let the devil have his wife, but he won't let God have his wife. And it's a constant battle. Hey, y'all. And about a month from now, we'll all need to get right with God again. It's a constant battle. That old human nature, selfish.
That's right. Yeah.
That human nature, selfish.
Amen.
Right. God commanded the husband to love her and commanded the wife submit to him.
Right.
Why did God have to command that husband to love? Because he's a head, not a heart.
Right.
And he'd need help with his heart to love her.
Good. Yeah.
Why did not God tell the wife to love her? He didn't have to tell the wife to love her husband. She's a heart.
Yeah.
But her old sin nature wants to be a head, and he had to tell her, now you submit. I got news for you. If a man gets right with God, he'll make the right stand.
Amen.
And if a woman gets right with God, she'll have the right submission.
Right.
And that man will have to submit to God to make that stand.
Right. Amen.
To make that stand. Now I got a feeling the Lord wanted all this plowed up because if husbands and wives can't pray together, our prayers are hindered.
Right.
Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Your heirs together of the grace of life. That's your Christian sister.
Right.
She ain't your slave to wipe your feet on her.
Right.
She's your sister and your spouse. And remember, she's very good.
Amen.
Girls, what are they? Not good. Without you. It is not good that a man should be alone. But when very good comes into not good, I'm going to make it, it's all good. I'm going to write that down. It's all good. My, my. What you going to do, husband and wife and child? We got any over here? We got a husband, a wife, and a child over here? I'm going to do this and I'll close this. Here's this little girl right here.
She's not mine.
Well, she quick to disown you, honey. I mean, that's fast. I'm teasing you. I want a little guy anyway. I need a little guy. Come here, little guy. Just stand right here. Give me another young couple over here. We got any over here? Give me another little couple. Your wife left you, sir. She was here. You're not good. Very good has left all good. That's not good. I want to show you this. You two come stand up here and help me. Fine young couple. Early 20s. I just want to show you something. Y'all turn around here. You can get in order, sir. Get in order. Now, what you going to do? I need somebody to be Jesus. You be Jesus. Come here. Stand around. Turns out Jesus parts his hair in the middle. And feathers it to the back right there. You stay right here. What you going to do when that husband goes out in sin, gets out of the will of God? You know what you better do? You better stay with the Lord. And you can always reach up there and tap him on the shoulder. Go ahead, sis. Tap him on the shoulder. And say, Lord Jesus, my husband's, he's not in his place. He's gone. He's out. But don't mean you got to quit. You can stay with Jesus. And them little babies will stay with Jesus. And you can say, Jesus, will you go get him? So Jesus can go find them when I'm about to run. Jesus can go find them when nobody else can. Let's get you right with God. Okay? What you gonna do when that wife leaves? Come on, wife, just over here. What you gonna do when she leaves? When she gets out of the will of God, when she goes away, when she goes off in the world, won't go to church, what you gonna do? You better stay with Jesus. Best thing you can do is reach up there and tap him on the shoulder. Say, Lord, will you go get her? He can do it.
Amen.
Now, what you going to do? Go on over there, sis. Get way on out in sin. You come here. Out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. On out of both of them out.
That's right. This is good.
Amen.
Yeah. That boy just took 3 steps forward and nobody told him. You done good, son. See, it's in the little child.
Right.
Nobody had to tell that little child what to do.
Amen.
He took 3 steps forward.
Amen.
And Jesus has a way of turning around and adopting them.
Right.
Yes.
He'll just adopt them. Just stand right up here next. Put your arm around that boy. Just adopt. Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah, you just hold his arm. Didn't he say, suffer the little children to come unto me?
Yes.
He setteth the solitary man. Woo! I'm getting me some happy bubbles looking at this thing. Hey, and I wonder if a little child would say, Jesus, look up at him. Will you go get mom and daddy? Will you go get mom and daddy?
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you. Thank God.
That's right.
Thank
That's
you.
Good.
Thank you, son. You done good. Thank you, buddy. Oh, my. Who's going to play the piano? Hey, how about this? Hold on. How about this? Children of the star, the dust. Wouldn't that be a good song? Children. 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 I had me some sermons ready that Charles Lawson was going to love. Instead, I've told you it's no good. And hey, we ain't here to please Brother Dean. We're not here to please Brother Lawson. We need God to... I'm going to ask for a show of hands on this. Who all's got a prodigal child here? Hands down. Who has parents, a mom or a dad that's lost? Raise your hand. Several hands in all 3 sets. Is there a husband or a wife here and you're having to do this by yourself? I don't want to embarrass you. Is there a husband or a wife having to do this by yourself? You don't have to raise your hand. But the Lord knows. God's able to hold this thing together without it bumping into each other. I want you to play that, sis. Just play it for a while. May have you sing it here in a minute. children of the dust. That's what we've been taught. Everybody stand, heads bowed. I want you to come obey the Lord. Boy, sure help us have a revival. If husbands and wives and mamas and daddies and children, how many grandparents out there got a heavy heart for children or grandchildren? I want everybody to raise their hand a while ago to come pray if you want to. Pray for that lost child, that lost parent. Pray for them prodigals.